yeah, cause he's intentional.
All right, and welcome to Eve's Corner. I am Prophetess Campbell, and I'd like to thank you for joining today. Eve's Corner is a show of empowerment, encouragement, and enlightenment. So I pray that for everyone who has joined on today, especially for my faithful listeners, that God blesses you abundantly on today. Our topic is living your best life. And the scriptures that we're going to be referring to on today will be from John, the 10th chapter. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and grab your Bible now and turn over to John, the 10th chapter, as well as we're going to refer to Deuteronomy chapter 30. So for John, that'll be John, we'll probably read 7 through 10. Deuteronomy, we'll be looking around the 20th verse. So first and foremost, I'd like to say thank you for those who have been in prayer with me. Some of you know that my father is in intensive care currently. Therefore, I am doing this show satellite on today. But the work of the ministry must go on. You know, we are definitely continuing to keep my father in prayer. And I want to go ahead and pray now for those that are listening. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you now, God, for our many blessings. Lord, we thank you for just watching over us and for keeping us in your care. God, we pray a special blessing on today for those who are sick and afflicted. We pray now, God, for those who are hospitalized, those who have poor mental health, God, as well as those who have poor physical health. We pray now, God, that you just touch them, God. Heal and deliver, Lord. Move by your spirit. We thank you in advance, God, for putting your super on top of our natural, because you are a supernatural God and you can do all things. You can do anything, God, and we just believe you for it. We know, God, that you can heal the sick and raise the dead. God, we know that you turn water into wine. So, God, we trust you with whatever it is that you would do in our lives. Have your way on today, O Lord. Speak to me and through me so that your people may receive your word on today with clarity. And, God, shower them with more wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of your word, your will, and your ways. In the name of Jesus, we pray and thank you. Amen. So today, again, we're going to be looking at John, the 10th chapter, and our topic is living your best life. I know that Joel Osteen also has a book, Living Your Best Life Now, or Live Your Best Life Now, I believe is the name of his book. So this is not necessarily according to his book, but I believe there may be some of the same or similar points in the book. I do want you to know that our special guest for today is you. So I'd like for you to call in, talk to me, tell your testimonies, call in with comments. You know, you can talk about the show or talk about, you know, some of the ways that God has blessed you in living your best life, or how God has shown you how to live your best life. That number to call in to speak live is 888-627-6008. Again, that number is 888-627-6008. Now, the word has already, the prayer has already gone forth. So, again, if you have comments, questions, or anything that you'd like to discuss on today, feel free to do so. So, now, John, the 10th chapter, is called the Parable of the Good Shepherd. So, now, going there, let's just begin at the 7th verse. So Jesus said again, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, I am the door for the sheep leading to life. All who came before me as false messiahs and self-appointed leaders are thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not hear them. I am the door. Anyone who enters through me will be saved and will live forever and will go in and out freely and find pasture. Now that's spiritual security. The 10th verse says, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance. That means to the fullest, till it overflows. Jesus said he came that we may have life more abundantly. Now, I've read to you verses 7 through 10 from the Amplified Version, but whichever version you're reading from, know that the important thing is Jesus is the Good Shepherd, and he came so that we may have life, not just to exist, not just to be or do or go through day to day, just working, going back and forth, but Jesus came so that we can have life. So now, looking at the scripture, Jesus, as our shepherd, is our protector and our provider. One of the things about a shepherd with his sheep is that his sheep know his voice, and we pay attention to his voice. That means we're not just gonna follow a stranger or follow any voice, but we know the voice of our shepherd. We know when Jesus is speaking to us, so we won't just be wayward or go in any direction just because someone told us something or because we heard something or there's some new saying. But we're going to follow what it is that Jesus says because we know and understand his voice. The Bible says that he calls his own sheep by name. So now if God knows my name, he knows all about me. He knows my situation. He knows what I'm dealing with. And the Bible says that he leads us out to pasture. This particular portion of the scripture reminds me of the 23rd Psalm. One of the things about the 23rd Psalm, and for some of us, it's probably the first scripture that we learned in Sunday school. But the Bible says that the Lord is our shepherd and we don't have to want for anything. But the other great thing about the scripture is that the word lets us know that God feeds us what's good for us. He protects us from harm. He gives us rest. If you just think about a natural shepherd, he gives them rest when they need it. He takes them to where the good, fresh, green grass is. He restores us. And although we may have to walk through some valleys and see some shadows of death, we don't have to fear. We don't have to worry. We don't have to have any worries because we know that the shepherd is watching over us. We know that his word is correction for us. But we know that goodness and mercy are following us as well. We know that as he's leading and guiding us, we don't have to want for any good thing because everything that we want or we need, the shepherd has already provided or is providing for us day by day, step by step, moment by moment. The other part of that scripture that I like is that in the 23rd Psalm, the Bible says that he is preparing a table just for us, even in the presence of our enemies. So we don't even have to worry about our enemies. But because he has anointed us and appointed us, then he refreshes us with fresh oil. It's running over. It's in abundance, just like the life that he is giving unto us. The Bible lets us know that goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. So now going back, looking at John, the 10th chapter, thinking about Jesus as that good shepherd and thinking about this abundant life that he wants us to have, all we have to do is stay right there. All we have to do as sheep is follow. All we have to do is obey. Go where the shepherd takes us. Go where he leads us. Just stay in the fold. Stay in the Lord's house. One of the things about Christians is if we are not paying attention to the voice of God, we can be led astray. Not just by false prophets, but by voices of the world, voices of other people who may be confused, or voices of people who may just literally be trying to mislead you or pull you away from the church or from the word of God. But we have to know that our protection and our real life and our real abundance comes from following Jesus. We can go a whole lot of places and we can do a whole lot of things, but our real security comes from Jesus. It's not about how much money you have in the bank. It's not about anything that you own. It's not about who you hang out with. It's not about who your friends are. It's not about your job title. It's not even about your title in the church. But it's about whether or not you're obeying God. So I suggest to you to just stay in the fold. Stay in the Lord's house. Know God's voice so that you won't be led astray by a stranger. Know that Jesus is the door, as the scripture says in the 10th chapter of the book of St. John. Jesus is the door. He is your way in. He's your way up. He's your way through. It's not about necessarily having these proper connections in the world. But if you are connected to Jesus and you are connected to the shepherd, then he'll lead you to those people strategically that you need to be in communication with. People who wouldn't try to have you to do anything that's outside of the godly realm, as well as being able to do your job appropriately. Sometimes we look for hookups and connections and networking, but it's not always in those natural networks. Sometimes you just have to stay connected to Jesus, stay hooked up to the vine, stay hooked up to God. If you start trying to hook up with those people and not staying connected to the shepherd, you will be led astray. And that's not an if or a maybe. but you will be led astray if you are not connected to Jesus and you decide to hook up to everything and everybody else. Know that Jesus is your spiritual security as well as your natural security. You have nothing to worry about as a sheep being led by the shepherd. And understand the role of the thief. He has come to steal and to kill and destroy. Some of the things that you're going through are not because of something that someone else did necessarily, but it's them being used by the enemy who's coming to steal your joy, who's coming to literally and spiritually kill you as well, who's coming to destroy you and take away all the things that you already know that God has promised to you. But you have to be paying close attention. You have to know the difference. It's not the people who are necessarily after you or testing you or trying you, but it's them being used by the enemy who is trying to attack you, attacking your character, attacking your body, attacking your mind. So let's go a little bit further. Go on over now to Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. The book of Deuteronomy talks a lot about restoration. I'll give you just a second to grab that. One of the things that I love about the Lord is that whatever you've lost, whatever you've had to sacrifice or give up, the Lord will make it up to you. And that for me is good news. Job got double for his trouble. Abraham went from not having any kids to being the father of many nations. So the Lord will not only bring you into the land, which he promised to your fathers. God will not only give you the things that he promised, he will give you and do for you. But he'll do it in such an abundance that after you lost, he'll even restore the years that you lost in trying to regain those things. He'll cause you to prosper and he will multiply you even more than what he promised that he would do for your fathers. All we have to do is listen and obey his voice. Obey the commandments of God. And he'll make us abundantly prosper in everything that we do. And sometimes we think, well, Lord, you know, I don't know if what I'm doing on my job is important to you. If you're obeying God, he will cause you to be successful because God trusts you enough that he will get the glory. You won't take the glory and try to say, oh, it's me, and stick your chest out. But you'll be able to say, Lord, I know it's you. And God expects you to give him the glory. Okay, so hopefully you have that scripture pulled up. Even if you look at verse 14, the Bible says the word is very near you and in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. One of the things for sure is that as far as guidelines, instructions, what to do, how to do, it all comes from the Word of God. We don't know what to do without the Word of God. But the Bible is a basic instruction manual for us to abide by. Looking down a little bit further, going down to verse 20. The scripture reads, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding closely to him, for he is your life, your good life, your abundant life, your fulfillment. Sometimes we think that we gain fulfillment through other people. Sometimes we think that we gain fulfillment through our children or through relationships. But our true fulfillment, as you can see from scripture, is in God. So if you're feeling like some things are missing in your life, it's Jesus. Nobody else can make you happy. No, not a new job, not a new person, not moving to a new neighborhood, not buying a new house, not buying a new car. You might feel a temporary happiness. You might be temporarily excited with things and making more money and making more investments and going about your busy day. But your true fulfillment comes from God. And the scripture goes on to say, and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord promised or swore to give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, it's up to us to choose life. We have the option of choosing good or choosing evil. But the choice is all ours. God doesn't force us to do anything. God not only wants us to gain the land that he promised to our fathers in the book of Deuteronomy, but he wants us to prosper in it. He doesn't want us to just have things or have the things to have us, but he wants us to be prosperous spiritually as well as naturally. But it's up to us to choose the blessing and not the curse. It's up to us to choose the good over evil, to choose life over death. And it's not just for you. What I love about the Lord is if I am obedient, he won't just bless me, but he'll bless my children and my children's children. So now we have to talk about how we do that. Well, looking back at the scripture in verse 20, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, holding closely to him, just like with the sheep. Sheep can't go astray from the shepherd. If they go out too far, he has a rod of correction to pull them back in. But you have to hold closely to God. You have to have a relationship with him. You can't just pop in and visit him on Easter and on New Year's Eve. You can't just pop in and visit him if something has gone wrong and that's the only time you actually communicate with him. But just like a natural relationship, you have to spend constant time communicating if you're trying to grow closer to that person. Well, it's the same thing in your relationship with God. The Bible says he is your life, your good life, and your abundant life. There is no life outside of God. But the word goes on to let us know that he'll do just what he promised that he would do. We won't just have to see the land or hear about the land or see the promises or see other people being blessed and seeing other people in happy relationships and see other people get married. But the Lord is saying that whatever he promised, he will do for us. And all we have to do is simply obey. Now, I know to some you may be thinking like, man, that's a lot. But you can do it. You can do all things through Christ. But you got to hang in there. You got to stick with him. You can't pop in and out of Christianity when it's convenient. You can't love when you feel like it. You can't obey God when it's convenient. But you stick closely to God and obey his word, and you will see those promises come into fruition. Now, how do we get there is the question that some of you might be asking. What does this look like? Well, I have 5 points. So if you're taking notes, we're going to go over a few things and we can talk about it. Remember, you can call in at 888-627-6008. Again, that number is 888-627-6008. So my first point is that you should pay attention to what it is that you're expecting from God. What is your expectation? Know that God has much in store for you. His plan is far better than yours. Your plan is small compared to the things that God wants to do for you. You can't even imagine the things that God has in mind for you. So consider that. You need to begin to expect more. Expect more from God, not out of your own ability, not out of, you know, the people who say they're going to hook you up or connect you or network with you. But you need to begin to expect more and expect God to do it. Expect God to move. Expect God to keep his promises. Know that you have to break away from your past, though. Sometimes we don't expect things from God because we're stuck on what we did wrong. Now, whether that's somebody else trying to condemn us or remind us of what we did wrong or whether it's on our own, you have to break away from your past. Okay, so you did do it. Okay, so you were wrong. Okay, so it was your fault. But did you ask God for forgiveness? Because once you do, he grants us repentance. He already knew that you were going to mess it up. He already knew that you didn't know what you were doing. You didn't, but he did. But know that we serve an understanding God. Know that we serve a God who allowed us to be able to come back to him. That's why God loves a backslider. Because it's one thing to mess up, but you always have to know that you can come back at any time. Understand that God forgives you, but remember to forgive yourself and then go on with your life. Don't let other people throw your past up in your face. Because sometimes people throw your past up to take the view off of them. Because they may have some skeletons in their closet, so they try to remind you of your past or remind you of what you did. But you have to remember that your past is covered under the blood of Jesus. There are some people that like to focus on what you did wrong. Don't listen to them. You don't have to talk to them about your sin. Once you've already gone to God and asked God to forgive you, receive your forgiveness, forgive yourself, and move on. Just think about it. Let your past stay exactly where it is, in the past. Reprogram your mind. Change your mindset. Don't spend your life looking back on what you did wrong. It's time to just get moving, rather than being stuck. My second point is about self-image. Know your value. Whom do you believe you are? Do you remind yourself regularly or daily how important you are to God? Do you know who God says you are? You are royalty. You are God's elect. The hairs upon your head are not just counted, but numbered. Counted means that God knows how many there are, and that's awesome in itself. But know that if one falls to the ground, that God knows that that's hair number 1,468. That's an awesome God. And once you truly know who you are and whose you are, you can be happy all by yourself. You can choose to be happy. Because a lot of times people with poor self-image or low self-esteem are those people who walk around and they're not happy. They're always mad, or they're always frowning, or they're always sad, or they're always depressed. They're just always something negative. But you have to remind yourself that when you start to feel down, stop in your tracks and say, okay, wait a minute. I know who I am. I'm God's elect. I'm a child of the King. I'm the head and not the tail. God made me the lender and not the borrower. I am blessed of the Lord. I am favored by God. I'm important to God. See, once you get yourself together, your self-image changes. And you won't always think along the lines of the negative things, but you will remember the positive of who God has already made you. I see that we have a caller on the line. Caller, are you there? Caller, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can now. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Who do we have on the line?
This is Gladys Dotson. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Dr. Dotson. I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm blessed.
Good.
It's always good to be share with you and hear you ministering. I'm being blessed.
Amen. Amen. Did you call in with a comment today, or you just wanted to talk about your being blessed on today? Because that's a testimony in itself.
It is a testimony in itself. And I did just want to share with you, I heard you mention from John 10:10 mm-hmm. that the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, but I am come. The thief has his purpose for coming. But mm-hmm. Jesus had his purpose as well. And he said, I am come that you may have life and that more abundantly. And I just wanted to share on that as well, as far as that abundant life, he is providing that for us on purpose.
That's
and
right.
So that we can have it to its fullest and until it overflows.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, we don't want to just go around in circles always passing through the same territory and coming back
right.
to the same problems and the same frustrations, the same mistakes, the same limitations. So we don't want
right.
to be callous and mm-hmm. Get hard-hearted in the same old frustration, because that's what, those calluses will bring other environments.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to make sure, I heard you mention about breaking out. So we want to break out from those old self-defeating cycles and repeated patterns and habits.
Yes.
So we don't. So we won't be limited. We'll have those limitations and be the overcomer that Jesus has said. He has said it. So we just set ourselves in agreement with what He already said.
That's
and
right.
what He's already provided.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. Sound like you excited today, Dr. Dawson. Amen. We appreciate
I'm
that
word
on this morning.
I'm excited to hear the word being expounded in such a, it's magnifying. And it's just great to hear you, ministering the word. God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen. Well, stay on the line, Dr. Dawson, if you have time. Stay on with us. I was just about to move to my next point, actually, and I appreciate you talking about that abundant life and not being in those redundant circles. I can't say enough that God came with a purpose, but He wants us to also be in purpose, on purpose. A lot of times we walk around, and for some of us, unfortunately, we seem to just be existing, but that's not what God has chosen for us. That's not the life that God wants us to have. What God wants us to have is an abundance of joy, an abundance of peace, an abundance of love overflowing, in all these areas, not just, barely making it. But, I stated the other day to some people that, sometimes we have to check our love meter, because sometimes we just barely making it, as Christians. But that's not the life that God has chosen for us. So I appreciate you calling in on this afternoon.
Amen.
So the third point then, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, is that there is power in our words. The power of life and death are in our tongues, so therefore we have to speak the word on a consistent basis. As a part of living an abundant life, we not only have to know it, but we have to speak it. We have to refuse defeat. Sometimes we have to just flat out change the channel, change our mindsets, just like watching TV. You can be sitting there and looking at something that, after a while, you may fall asleep on it, or it may not be what you want to look at the moment. So just like we change the channel in the natural, we have to change the channel sometimes in our minds and flip over to something positive. We have to flip over, whether it's to the Word of God or flip over to Christian television and watch something that's encouraging and enlightening. But we can't just sit and be idle and dwelling in this negative place. Once we see and we find ourselves there, we have to pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and refuse to be defeated. We have to get up and say, oh no, I will not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. I will not sit here and be depressed. I will not sit here in confusion. I will not sit here and be angry. Whatever that is, whatever that emotion is that's not of God, we have to be able to go back and collect ourselves. We have to recognize it first that that's not what God wants for us, but then to go back and shake it off. Amen, Dr. Dawson, are you still there?
Amen. I agree totally. We want to be a part of something greater than ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be connected to what God is doing on earth in a way that in the way that bears fruit for His kingdom.
Yes,
so this is bigger than us. We want to be connected, in Him and with Him and according to His word. So we can see greater, because he said greater, than these things shall you do, because I'm going to be back with the Father. He said, but you should do greater. So we got to stay connected to the vine in order to, see that fulfillment.
That's right. And we have to make sure we have a made up mind so that we don't let anything or anybody shake us off of what we already know that God has promised. We can't let anything or anybody shake us off what God has told us. We have to be able to get up and say, okay, just as well as you know your own name, we have to know that God's promises are true, that His promises are yes and amen, that God's promises will come into fruition. I don't care how long it takes for you to get the new house or get the new car or for God to send Boaz or to send Ruth, for the brothers who are listening. whatever it takes. We have to know, just like we know our own name. You know, nobody can come to you and say, well, Dr. Dyson, your name ain't Gladys. Your name is Susie. And you're like, no, my name is Gladys. Right. You know, can't nobody right. else come and tell you something different. Know that you know that you know when God has spoken to you, when you say something according to the word of God, that it will come into fruition. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So now the fourth point is that sometimes we will have adversity, you know, and we've spoken about this before, but we have to be able to find strength through our adversity. The psalmist said in Psalm number 119 and 71 that it is good that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. For some of us, sometimes, you know, it takes us going through things to begin to pray and cry out to God and spend more time with God. But there's nothing like learning by firsthand experience rather than hearsay. It's not something you'll soon forget if you learn it on your own and you learn it from going through. You know, the hope is that you don't have to go through over and over and over again to be able to get a point or learn a point. But it causes you to get closer to God when you are going through adversity. And then we can truly say, well, if I hadn't gone through that, then I wouldn't know this. Or if I wouldn't have had to lose that, I would not have accomplished this. You know, so whatever your this is, we have to know that we can still gain strength through our adversity. It's just like a physical workout. You know, the weights may be heavy at the moment and your body may be sore, but you'll begin to realize very quickly that now I can lift more weight. Where it was 10 pounds before, you know, I can now move up to a 20 pound weight because I was able to endure the 10. I got stronger from it. I grew from it. I developed from it. And so now I can lift more weight. I can handle this. This is a light thing. And definitely don't let you have to deal with a 5 pound weight, because you can look at it and be like, oh, that's nothing, because I just dealt with 10. So that's absolutely nothing. Amen, Dr. Dyson.
Amen. It's like David with the lion and the bear. So when he came, Goliath wasn't nothing but a word for him. Goliath was just
right.
that was just nothing but a word, because he's like, I already conquered this lion and this
That's
bear.
Right.
There's no way I'm gonna let this little giant right here defeat me.
That's right.
He had already conquered some things, and we know too that God has already helped us in a lot of areas.
That's right.
And nobody else don't have to tell us, like you said. You got to know this for yourself. Now, I know God helped me with this, and it was just God that mm-hmm. helped me with this. So mm-hmm. I already know that God is on my side, and all I got to do is stay connected with him. It's not my power. It's his power.
And we,
like you said, we can't move in that level of where you're taking us to until we admit and acknowledge that we need the power of God to help me. I need the power of God to help me. I need Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I got to acknowledge this. Like you
mm-hmm.
said, we got to come face to face with this. I got
That's
to acknowledge
right.
Jesus is Lord and Savior my life first, and I'm depending on him by his spirit to help me in this earth realm.
Amen. Amen. I just have to give a quick praise report. I was getting ready to make my next point, but I just received a message that my father has been sitting up in the chair today.
Praise God.
And he's moving around listening to the message. We intended for him to hear the word because he has been listening to the show. And I thank God, you know, that he had become really excited by the show. So we wanted to make sure that today Dad was able to hear the show. So my sister went over to the hospital ahead of me so that he could hear the message, and I'm told that he's moving around. So, Dad, I know that you can hear me.
Amen.
I love you. We're believing God for miracles. We're believing God for you. I know that God is going to perform his word. You know, there are a lot of people who are listening who've been praying for my father, but I just want to give you all that brief praise report. That's enough for me right there.
Amen.
So I'm going to try to focus.
Amen.
and pay attention. He is still in ICU, but it's progress. So I thank God for
That's
that
right.
progress.
Right.
So now I want to also say, in regard to adversity, you know, for some of us, adversity is definitely our mindset, and we go through things, and some of us are simply attacked. Like I said before, it seems like it's by people, but we forget that it's that spirit using them. But when dealing with that type of adversity, we have to know that God will right your every wrong. You don't have to go back and seek revenge. You don't have to feel like, well, oh, I'm going to get the last word, or I need to tell them about it. You don't have to go and try to think that you need to pay somebody back. But like little kids, you don't have to go get the last lick in or the last hit. But I thank and praise God that God's got it covered. Even during your storm, you still have to trust God. No matter what's going on, God is going to move on your behalf, but according to your faith. And faith is what you can't see, but it's what you're hoping for. Just like with the situation with my father and ICU. It's not about what we can see, but it's what we know according to faith. It's what we're believing God for. So I'm thanking God on today, just like when you're driving in your car, saints of God. If you're driving in a rainstorm at night, you don't just stop, but you got to stay on the road. You got to keep heading in the right direction, because you're going to eventually run out of that storm. Know that seasons will change. Okay. It's not going to rain all the time, but okay. The storm has come not only to cleanse, but the other reason for the storm is it makes us grow. So, you know, when we're dealing with things and we're talking about living an abundant life, we have to know that even as we're living this life according to the word of God and how God wants to bless us and prosper us and cause us to be successful with all of these things, we have to know that when this storm is over, I'm going to look better than I did before. I will have grown. I'm blossoming. After a storm, if you think about it, saints, things smell different. You can see where beauty has blossomed from something that was really ugly just the night before. Glory to God.
Amen.
But we learn to welcome the rain. We learn to welcome the storm, because God allowed it for our good. So whatever it is that he's doing, I don't care if you're dealing with some type of illness right now. No, God didn't cause the illness, but maybe he allowed it to happen so that some other folks could stop and pray, so that some other folks would acknowledge God, so that some other folks could see God do miracles performed in the earth. Because we talk about a lot of things that happen in the Bible days, as we say, but God is still performing miracles even on today. God is still working on your behalf even on today. So even if you're in a storm right now, just keep going. Stay on the road. Keep going in the right direction. God's got you covered. This storm won't last forever. Amen, Dr. Dyson?
Amen. And the joy will come in the morning.
It sure will.
You just endure through the night. It will come in the morning.
That's
like
right.
You will run out the rain. So just keep praising God as you're going through it.
That's right.
And that's what, as you were saying in your message earlier, you're living your best life now.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to spend our lives waiting to be delivered, from limitations and trying to, experience God's best. We want to be free now, enjoy life now. Now is essential at the end of that statement.
Yes.
You know, some people are waiting to get to heaven. But like you say, you just keep going through in the earth realm. We just going through the rain, but
yes.
But you will come out of it and enjoy the sunshine now, because the sun is shining. We just got to get on through that little stormy part right there.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And the scripture does say weeping may endure. You may have to cry sometimes. You may have to go through some things. Weeping can endure for a night. Some of us may cry till 11:59.
That's right.
The Bible says, off, and Silas were praying. You know, for some of us, we may be crying until the day breaks. But when the morning comes, and whenever your morning is, my morning may be at 5 a.m. Your morning might not be the 8. But when morning comes for you, we'll have that joy. We'll have what it is that God promised. Amen. I see that we have another caller on the line. Caller, are you there? Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Amen. Amen. Who do you have on the line today?
Hi, my name is Terry Spinnis from Preston, Mississippi, and I have been so inspired by Prophet McKenna and Dr. Dotson. You know, when you said you had a scripture earlier about some time when you had adversity, you think that's something that's wrong or you shouldn't have to go through it. But I read the scripture that you read before about if I had, then also I want to say there's a song by Andre Crouch. He says, if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them.
That's
and
right.
So with me being down and I have something they call neuropathy, and sometimes it sort of set me down because I was the one that stays on the go a lot. But since I've been sitting down and taking care of myself, I said, God, what is you trying to show me? What are you trying to tell me? And then I saw this scripture where, you know, this slowed me down so I could study more, so I could share the word with other people. Yesterday, I usually meditate and pray and don't put any music on, but I decided to call a lot of people. And all day long, I was on the phone encouraging people. And I was just so proud of myself, but not just sitting here thinking about me, but thinking about other people. So, you know, God is so good and he's so awesome. And lately, he's just been giving me favors and favors and favors. And I was like, you know, God, you're so awesome. And I'm not complaining that I can't do what I used to do. Because you know what? I have this ministry that I do. This, the Holy Spirit came to me and say, I'm a widow 2 years today. And the Holy Spirit came to me and say, you should encourage other people and let them know that they can go through. And I started doing this ministry calling other widows, and I also called sick and shut in. And 2 weeks ago, I was at a funeral, and I was explaining this to this lady that I have this ministry I call other widows. And she told me she knew this lady that she started calling other widows, and all the other widows started calling people, and now they have a conference going on, just widows, calling other widows, encouraging people. And I'm so encouraged today by listening to both of you expound on God's word. It gives me strength, and I can go on a little further.
Amen.
Have a good day.
Amen. Thank God for you. That was, again, Carrie Stennis. We always appreciate when she calls in, but she is absolutely right. You know, we don't necessarily know when things originally happened to us, why it has happened. And sometimes we try to figure out, like, I don't know why this happened to me. But instead of being down about it, instead of, you know, spending so much time worrying about it, then we can take the opportunity to say, okay, God, well, while I'm going through this, as Carrie has said that she personally had to do, you know, and say, okay, while I'm going through this, Lord, what is it that you'll have me to be doing, you know, at this point in time? So, amen. Again, thank God for Carrie. Now, my fifth point is that we are blessed to be a blessing. Know that whatever it is that God has blessed you with, whatever the talent is, if you have a gift where you're singing or like Carrie, you know, where she likes to speak to people, or some of us have a gift of things like cooking or dancing, or we just meet people easily and we just have an easy time talking to people. Whatever that gift is, know that God didn't bless you with that gift for you to just hold on to it and take your gift and bury it. Know that God doesn't bless you even with money to not utilize it for the kingdom of God. Whatever it is that God blesses us with, it should be utilized for the kingdom of God. He didn't bless you to just take it and hide it. He didn't bless you to just take your love and put it away, or take your joy or your harmony or whatever it is that you possess to put it away. It's to be utilized for the kingdom of God, because everything that we do begins with a seed. Now, some of us don't know the law of the seed, but I hopefully can explain it really quickly. Everything that we do, especially with our gifts, begins with a seed. If we want more love, we have to give love. Everything that we sow will come back to us multiplied. So now, if you understand the law of the seed, then think about this. If you take your entire harvest and you eat it up and you don't plant anything, then eventually you're going to starve to death. Amen, Dr. Dawson.
Amen. Amen. You gotta plant. You gotta plant, nurture it and water it, you will get a harvest. So
that's
so
right.
as you were mentioned about the seed, the word of God is the seed. So it goes back to what you're teaching today. Mm-hmm. Uh, in we need to speak the word of God over our lives. And
I
think you taught on that before. Speak the word of God. That the word is a seed in the earth, family. You speak the word in the earth, it's going to produce a harvest. So speak positive. Speak what God says about us according to his word, and it'll produce a positive and a good, healthy harvest. So we want to speak death words, or we don't want to speak what the enemy is saying to us, or what our soul or you know, the flesh is saying, because it's going to produce that harvest, too. So
that's whatever
the seed will produce a harvest one way or the other.
That's right. And that's the law of the seed, whether it's good or bad.
it will
produce a harvest. Right. So if you take even a small portion of your harvest, say it's apples, for instance, if you set aside a small portion, whatever you put back into the ground will be multiplied. So now remember, the more you sow, the more you reap. The more you give, the more you get. Now, that's not the reason you do it. But in order for you to not starve, if you look at it that way, if you want to have some more apples, you're going to have to take aside something from what that harvest is that you have and put a seed in the ground. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You can't be God-given. So when you have a gift or a talent, you have to give it back to God. And then he'll begin to just pour out blessings. And the Bible says you won't even have room enough to receive. When you ensure that there is meat in God's house, when you ensure that there is meat in the storehouse. But this is why, if you think about it, some people may be lacking because you're stingy, because you don't give, because you hold on to what you have selfishly. But if you want to see an abundant life, then obey God's word and just begin to give. Sow into the kingdom of God. Be a blessing to other people. Whether you're sowing, as Dr. Dawson said, with words, sowing the word of God, you have to make sure that you're watching what kind of seeds you're planting. But give back more, put more into the ground, and you'll get more. So think about this again, you know, I'm referring to an apple. You can count the seeds in the apple, but you can't count the apples in one seed. So you don't just look at the apple as something to eat. You don't need to look at the apple that way. But you need to be able to look at that apple and see trees. Change your perspective. See more apples. I'm seeing an entire orchard. I don't even want to just see another apple coming from the seeds that I sow. But I want to see an entire orchard. I want my perspective to change so, and for me to be able to be so enlightened by the word of God that I begin to look at everything as a seed. Everything that I do, especially in things that I want to get back. So if you want more fruit, then that's what you have to sow. Think about the fruit of the spirit. Like I said, if you want more love, you need to sow some love. You want more joy, sow it. Now, especially at this season, because I know that this is love season. You know, some people will be celebrating Valentine's Day on tomorrow. I definitely want to touch on that. For those of you who are married, don't decide not to give love or withhold love from somebody. Assuming that they don't love you enough, or assuming that, you know, because they didn't do something that you wanted them to do, you're just going to sit back with your arms folded because somebody didn't express love outwardly the way that you expect them to do. Well, guess what? If they didn't sow enough love in you, then you just pour all the love on them. Now, for those who don't have a boo, and I do know it's boo season, but don't spend your time being depressed. But trust and believe that God has a preordained boo or mate lined up just for you. And I ain't talking about Slick Willie, because Slick Willie will come and bring you some flowers tomorrow and you won't hear from him again for another 2 months. He can keep those flowers. Those flowers come with a price. You may not hear from Willie again. And brothers, if you waiting on your good thing, if you waiting on your favor, because the Bible said that when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing and he obtains favor. See, people think about the wife part, but they don't remember that you're going to also gain some favor from finding a wife. If you're looking for Ruth, if you're looking for that virtuous woman that the scripture talks about in Proverbs 31, don't let some hips, lips, and fingertips fool you, because she's probably not the one. There is no future in immediate gratification. That's not abundant living. And that's not what we're talking about when we're talking about planting seeds. Don't just drop your seeds off anywhere. It's got to be sown in good ground. Sisters, don't try to impress people, because these people might not even be thinking about you. I know you want to go back to your girlfriends at work on Monday and tell them, oh, yeah, I got flowers. I got this. He did this. He did that. But not if it's not Boaz. It won't matter. It's some people right now scrolling through their phones looking for who they can pray on. And I do mean P-R-E-Y. So we have to make sure that our minds are transformed and renewed according to the word of God. Focus on what real life is. Focus on what real abundance is. Focus on what real living is. Focus on the finish line. Now, how then do we transform our minds so that we're thinking about abundant life, so that we're not thinking about Slick Willy, so we're not thinking about somebody quick and easy to be with over the holiday? How then do we transform our minds? The first thing we have to do is let or allow this mind to be in us, which was in Christ Jesus. We have to allow the word of God to marinate in our spirits so that we don't just fall for anything. Think about things that are lovely, just, pure, things that are of good report, as the scripture says in Philippians 4. Then we have to do what Jesus said to do. We have to first love God. And then second, love your neighbor as yourself. That's some kind of love. If we could just handle those two things, Dr. Dotson. Loving God like we're supposed to means that we're going to be obedient. Loving our neighbors ourselves, that means that nobody has to tell us, don't mistreat people. Don't talk bad to people. Amen.
Right. Amen. You're going to do it because of your love of God. The love of God in you is going to cause you to do it. That transformation, like you said. And that transformation in you, God in you, the hope of glory in you will cause you to love them anyhow. You'll find yourself just loving. You'll catch yourself loving the unlovable. And how else are we going to rise above these limitations, except we let the love of God abound in us? We won't have no humility. We won't have any humility. We're like Sister Carrie saying, we'll have a life without anything to reach out towards others. We won't have any power. We're going to be meaningless if we don't have that love of God, which is real transformation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's also one of my points on today. You know, we need to love like the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and you can take your time and look at that. I'm not going to go through that today. The other thing I want to make sure that we talk about is being properly dressed. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 10 through 17, talk about putting on the armor of God. See, if you have on your helmet of salvation, that'll help you to keep your mind right. That'll help you to stay focused. If you have on that breastplate of righteousness, can't nobody just shoot these ungodly darts into your heart coming at you with foolishness. But you are protecting your chest. You're protecting your heart. Your loins are girded with the gospel of truth. Then somebody just can't come at you with a lie. Something that's not the word of God. Something that's not in accordance with what the shepherd has already told you as his sheep. Well, we have to be properly dressed. And this weekend, and any other time, really, you may have to resist. You're going to have to resist the devil so he'll flee from you. You're going to have to resist some temptation. And then God will make a way for you to escape. You may have to resist some doubt and some fears, some things that you already have inwardly on your mind about why you may be alone or why you may be dealing with some of the things you're dealing with, why you don't have a mate just yet. You're going to have to resist those things. The other thing you're going to have to do is live a surrendered life. We have to learn how to completely and totally surrender unto God. We have to sell out to Jesus. And when we're surrendered to God, that means that we rely on God to work on our behalf. We ain't trying to fix it. We ain't trying to manipulate nothing. We ain't trying to falsify nothing. We ain't trying to fool nobody. But a sign of natural surrender is to put your hands up. The Bible says in Psalms 37:7, to surrender yourself to the Lord and patiently wait for him. And that's what we have to remember to do. patiently wait on God. We have to remember to consult God for everything. Amen, Dr. Dawson?
Amen.
You don't have to know the who, the where, and the how, but we got to consult God and trust him for everything. Amen. Go ahead, Dr. Dawson.
No, I was just going to just say a couple more words behind what you were saying, because the Holy Spirit, he's not going to override our will. We have to surrender our will. That's
right.
All I was
going to
say.
Amen. Mm. Amen. You're absolutely right. We need to learn how to also reverence God in everything that we do, because it's not about us. But God's got a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for everything that he's doing. He has a purpose for everything that he allows. We have to remember to praise and to worship God for who he is, not because he's Santa Claus and for what he can give to you. We have to remember to treat God's people right, as we were saying, to love God's people. We have to remember to serve. We're not just in a church to be pew warmers, but we have to remember that those gifts that God has given us are to be used to edify the kingdom of God. Whether that's mopping or sweeping, I don't care what your title is. But we have to remember that we are here to serve. So you don't walk around at church being cute and coming in waiting on somebody to move you. But when you get to church tomorrow, you go in with your hallelujah. You go in with your glory to God. You go in with your excitement, your joy, and your shout. And you don't have to wait for a drum beat or for a musician. And remember, as Dr. Dawson just said, that humility is key. The fastest way up is on your knees. The higher God takes you, the more you have to remember it's all about him. And it's all about his kingdom. It's not about your agenda, but it's all about Jesus. I want to thank you for joining on today. Again, our topic is about living your best life right now. Not when we get to heaven, but having an abundant life here on the earth, as Jesus said. Thank you all for joining. Thank you to my faithful listeners. If you would like to donate to Campbell Ministries, you may do so by writing in the P.O. Box 16214, Jackson, Mississippi. The zip is 39236. Or you can also go to my website and click on the donate button. Thank you so much, Dr. Dawson, for hanging out with us on this afternoon.
Thank you.
Amen. We appreciate you. And to our faithful listeners, again, you know, I thank God for you. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. And I definitely thank you all for praying for my father. I know that Dad is still listening. I'm still getting good reports. I'm getting pictures now. So I'm going to get on over to the hospital. Thank God for all of you. Dad, I love you. And I will see you shortly. God bless you all. See you again in 2 weeks. Amen.